getting higgy with it.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
Welcome into the Hot Corner. For it must be a Tuesday, baby, but it's a Tuesday. It's always a Tuesday. I'm so jazzed right now, my friend.
Whatever.
Sorry. We'll get to all that in a little bit.
My excitement for today, it was great. I had all the energy in the world, and then it was just sucked. The life was sucked out of me around 4 p.m.
Well, you know what, Joe? You got to dust off the OGs, all right? Today, I'll take the sunglasses off for my YouTube friends. Today, I dusted off the old bad boy.
Yeah, that definitely is.
The old 2016 bad boy.
It definitely is a bad boy.
The bad boy I purchased at the team store outside the stadium 2 hours before first pitch of game one of the 2016 World Series.
And we've been canceled. The stream has been taken off YouTube.
YouTube can't. Yeah, 1080 The Fan is no longer a channel.
His name is Wahoo, okay?
The calls are flying in. This might be our last show.
I'm a Native American. Like, does that matter? No? Okay, never mind.
No, you people are just degenerates, and nobody respects you. Just alcoholics and all that stuff. Pay no attention to the fact that we stole their land and forced them into this terrible situation they're in. You know I got your back, amigo.
Wow. No, I love the Chief Wahoo hat. I always have.
It's terrible. No, it's terrible. I just dusted it off today because I was excited for playoff baseball.
I was.
At least you have a team in the playoffs. Shut up, Joe.
For one more day, Jordan.
You're like...
literally one more day.
You know when fat girls hear skinny girls complaining about, like, they wish that they weighed less? Like, that's what you sound like right now, just so you know.
The Mariners might score just as many runs as the Orioles in the postseason.
Okay, that's fair. Wow. Okay, that's pretty good.
Time will tell, but that very well could happen.
Who's throwing tomorrow? Is Seth Lugo throwing tomorrow?
Probably.
You're in big trouble, dude.
Don't worry, we have Zach Eflin on the mound.
Oh, yeah.
And no, not Ray. Zach Eflin from 3-4 years ago.
Coming back from injury, Zach Eflin, too, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Are going great.
This is the best time. Playoffs are here, baby.
Listen, I'm stoked. It was great turning on the TV at 11 a.m. this morning. And
I had to work today,
and
so
postseason baseball.
I got to put baseball on today.
Quite frankly, it was awesome turning on the TV yesterday and watching postseason.
Yes,
right?
Yesterday.
That's when it really began.
Today was great because I got to watch postseason baseball and. So I'm working in a bar, and I got TVs everywhere. So I was like, well, I want to watch AC Milan play. I want to see my Captain America. I got Arsenal on the other two, but I got the Trastros and the Tigres.
Rawr.
And never in my entire life did I think I would say, go Tigers. Because let me tell you something. As a longtime Indians fan, I hate the Detroit Tigers. Okay, there's the Tigers, the Twins, the Royals, and the White Sox, okay? I never hated the Royals because they were never good in my entire life. And when they won in 15, I was like, good for you. Like this team, very likable, made some trade deadline deals, had some homegrown players. I'm into this. Good for you guys. I've always hated the White Sox, the Twins, and the Tigers. And for some reason, the Tigers were always my number one that I hated. Today, against the Trastros?
They're America's team.
Go Tigers.
Rawr, bitch. Rawr.
Go.
They're creeping in the jungle, ready to pounce.
And Tarik Skubal, who is kind of a quiet dude, showed a lot of emotion today, and I thought that was really rad. Because it's baseball. It's playoffs, baby. Let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love baseball. Love postseason baseball. But just what a kick in the giblets today. It was just
rough. It's tough. Burns threw a great game. We'll get to all this later. What playoff baseball. Think if you're a Braves fan right now.
And I would say that
you're a Mets fan right now.
One thing that really just chaps my ass, and I was saying this to the Prime guys as they were walking out of the studio, this isn't even a my team thing. It is a playoff thing. When bats do not show up in the playoffs,
it's brutal.
Drives me up the wall.
It's brutal.
For my team, and then like watching a really good offensive team, just the bats go cold. It's just like, what the hell? What was it like?
Ozzie Albies has struck out 3 times tonight.
2 years ago with the Phillies, they were like looking really good into the postseason, into the World Series. Their first 2 games, the bats were going off, and then just nothing.
Well,
and
welcome they to got being a
I want to push you around.
It was.
Well, I will.
It drives me nuts, especially when the 1-4 guys are doing absolutely nothing for you.
Yeah.
It drives me up the effing wall. And yeah, that was my life today. And then, yeah, now I'm looking at the Braves today. They can't get a hit on Michael King. It's just.
Who?
Michael King.
Who?
Mike Jones?
That's a joke.
I you're losing me here. You're losing me on the joke.
Nobody knows.
And spit on that thing.
They're throwing no names out as pitchers, I think is the joke.
I mean, because they're not throwing Dylan Cease? Or,
yeah.
Well, trust me, I don't know why they're not doing it, but it's working.
It's working. It's working.
The Padres are that confident that they're going to beat the Padres. They're like, we'll just save Dylan for the divisional series.
Yeah, I think this is really fun, and you touched on it because I, like, the show
the
sheet.
Wild card series,
the show sheet today, I walked in and I said, hey, Joe, I'm sorry I didn't text you what we're going to talk about. And Joe was like, I'm pretty sure we're good.
Yeah.
But since I don't have it on the show sheet, yeah, yesterday was really, really fun.
Dude, the game one.
That game one was so fun.
I was texting multiple
people. It was game
161. Like,
I was hoping it was 163, you know, like that's more sexy. But that game 161 was so fun.
Well, and also just like.
Schwellenbach, that guy is an ace. That guy's an absolute ace and lost the game. Into the seventh, threw filth and lost the game.
Yeah, that's brutal. And that's another thing. I mean, that will just drive you nuts in baseball throughout the whole season. But when a pitcher just has an absolute gem and then
Braves fans are sitting there like, yeah, we're going to the playoffs. Let's do this. And it crumbled instantly.
Also, I love how we had the Raiders-Chargers situation pop up where it's like, well, it's in the best interest for both of these teams to win one game each. So maybe they... you know, maybe they ensure one of them win. But then again, it's like when you sit back, you're like, there's no way that the Mets and Braves are sitting there and like, hey, let's help each other out here.
Right? They hate each other.
Opponents. Yeah, exactly.
Chipper Jones's firstborn child is named Shea because of how good Chipper played at Shea Stadium.
That is one of the more sports petty stories I have ever heard.
Chipper awesome. Jones, his all-time stats at Shea Stadium are so stupid.
It's like Rafael Devers naming his first child Garrett.
Yeah.
Or Cole.
Yeah. His stats at Shea Stadium are so dumb that he named his firstborn child Shea.
That is a certain level of petty that I admire.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm absolutely here for it. Yeah, if Devers has a kid, name him Cole.
But yesterday,
Cole Devers.
Yesterday was great.
It was so fun.
That first game especially, I tweeted out at one point. I was like, so the winner of game one, do they just, after game one, do they go to the locker room and get absolutely S-housed with a champagne celebration?
No, because Major League Baseball told them don't do it.
They told, oh, okay.
Yeah, that is so S-y.
Yeah, they said don't do that. You have another game. Integrity of the game.
Well, the scheduling wouldn't have happened that way if integrity of the game actually mattered in the first place. Not saying they shouldn't have canceled the game because of the hurricane in Florida, but they should have played the doubleheader last week. Bush League, folks.
But it was Bush great League. TV for baseball. The games were on before Monday Night Football.
It's true.
So they had to go up against the NFL, and they found a way to do it, and I was glued to both games.
Well, game one, also the ending pushed up right up against the beginning of game two. So it was basically like
a commercial break.
That's the game, and here we go. First pitch. Like, it was, yeah. What I love, too.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
What I love, though, Arizona
Diamondbacks, paging Arizona Diamondbacks.
Is the Braves won the second game.
Uh-huh.
And,
which you assume because the Mets sat everybody.
Yeah. But, hey, it was in question because Chris Sale wasn't available for game two.
Right.
But I found it funny that after the Braves won game two, it then showed the Mets going to their locker room and the tarps all set up and champagne is ready. And it's just like, I love how they just lost this game, but they're still like, we still celebrating, baby, because we made it.
Yeah, and we
couldn't do this after game one, so let's get after
and
it.
And I thought it was really cool. I had a fun conversation. My wife and I, not the 2 days ago Sunday, but the week before Sunday, we went to a concert out in Edgefield. And it was during set break, and so we were just chatting, and she was like, well, tell me about baseball, all right? She's like, I know you want to talk about baseball, so what's going on? And I said,
openly asked you that?
Yeah, she did. Wow. Yeah, she's amazing.
What a good wife.
And I said, well, you know, the craziest thing about baseball right now is, you know, Shohei's going to win the MVP. And she goes, well, yeah, he's Shohei Ohtani. And I said, yeah, but there's this guy for the Mets who plays shortstop, who's really, really good and is actually probably the reason why the Mets are going to make the playoffs. And she was like, wow, what's his name? And I said, you wear his t-shirt to bed every night.
Yeah, you had mentioned this. And yeah. I brought up the remark that I was like, you probably force her to wear that shirt.
No, it's because I got
babe.
No, it's because I got fat and it doesn't fit me anymore. So she wears a Cleveland Indians Francisco Lindor jersey, and sure enough, and that is where MVPs, in my opinion, are won. It's gonna go to Shohei, okay, and deservedly so. But when Frankie hit that bomb against the Braves to put them up late in game one of that doubleheader, that's an MVP. That's what we're talking about. Somebody asked me, are the Brewers any good? I said, the Brewers are a really good, complete team, but they don't have one guy that can step up and dominate. And Frankie did that for the Mets. He put them in the playoffs.
Also, just showed zero emotion after hitting that home run. It was like just another home run to him.
Because he's a leader.
He's been there.
Because he's been there.
Act like you've effing been
Have you
there.
Seen the patch on the side of this hat I'm wearing? It says 2016 World Series, and the starting shortstop was Francisco Lindor, Mr. Smile himself.
You should wear your hat like that more often.
That looks so dumb. I saw it in the reflection. I was like, ugh, terrible.
Back in high school.
Could I go Rodney?
And you know Francisco Lindor.
You got to shoot the arrow if you do that.
Because technically, Brandon Crawford is not on a roster at this point in time. Francisco Lindor is the active leader in Gold Gloves by a shortstop. Ooh. With two.
You damn right, with two. I thought you were going to say with four.
No, Brandon Crawford has four, but he is not. He is a free agent at this moment in time, so technically not an active MLB player.
Oakley doakley. Well, we got a lot to get to. There's wild card reactions. We'll take some picks. We'll see what we saw today and how that goes. Speaking of Brandon Crawford, there's a lot of news in the Giants front office that we'll get to as well. Plus, I might touch on Charlie Blackmon as he played his last game as a Rocky, but they still did him dirty.
Okay, I was going to say, did you see what they did?
Yeah, of course they did him dirty. They did him absolutely dirty.
It's so funny how these cheap organizations still keep showing their hand that they are cheap.
Like, they think we're not watching.
Yeah.
They think we're not paying attention. So we might get into some of that, but when we come back, this one's for my mama. This one's for my mama. 4,000. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. 719 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Coming up in the next hour, we'll dive into some wild card reactions as three games have played and the fourth is on the tube right now. Plus, we'll have Fair or Foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. I got me my own in the parking lot right now. Just cleaned her up. Just did a nice little detail inside. She's looking real good. No sales tax if you're an Oregon person. You know, my mother texted me yesterday.
Aww.
My mother is a wonderful, wonderful, crazy human being. I absolutely love her.
Yours
to death.
Too?
Yeah. I absolutely love her to death. But my mother grew up a giant baseball fan. And she is probably the reason that I watch baseball, because she kind of was just like, you should watch baseball. I think it's a cool sport. And I started watching and then caught on. My mother's favorite player of all time is Johnny Bench. She said, I love Johnny Bench because he's dreamy.
And look at that bulge.
Is what she would always say. She would always say he was dreamy.
Now have some of this red man, Patrick.
She always said he was dreamy. My mother has signed pictures of Johnny Bench that say, to Kathy from Johnny, go Reds.
Oh, that's sweet.
My mother was a huge proponent of the Big Red Machine. That's what she loved. And I grew up in a household being told that the Big Red Machine is the greatest group of players to ever play baseball.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of old Johnny Bench. He was a hunk.
He was a hunk. That being said, she also loved Joe Morgan. She also loved Geronimo, Lou Piniella, and this guy named Pete Rose. Now, Joe, we've been doing this show for what, almost 10 years now?
It'll be 10 years next year.
10 years next year. So we've been doing it for 9 years. Joe, you produced for seven of those, eight
so far. Yeah, it'll be nine next year, because I jumped in the year after. I want to.
Yeah, so you produced this show for a long time, and now it's you and me as hosts. You know that we have topics that we don't love to get into. We don't really do steroids, and we really don't do Pete Rose, because that it just seems very much List radio / controversial, because it creates something to talk about. But I will break that boundary now, as Pete Rose passed away yesterday at 83 years old. It's funny. I was listening to the Dan Patrick show this morning, and Dan Patrick had, and I know that's not fun to say because he's on a competing station of ours.
Just say he podcasted it.
Oh, I podcasted it, and he interviewed
Johnny. You watched
Johnny,
the YouTube video or something.
And he interviewed Johnny Bench, and they were talking about Pete Rose. And here we are. This is it. One of the biggest reasons I never wanted to talk about Pete Rose was because it is what it is. And it was always going to be what it is while Pete was alive. But now Pete is dead. And I have firmly held this opinion that Pete Rose, while he was alive, would never be inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. But they would do it after he was dead to make sure that Pete didn't get to have a speech at Cooperstown.
That is, sorry, keep going.
That's the pettiness of Giamatti, who Selig took on, and now Manfred takes on. Now that Pete is gone, can we just do this?
Put him in?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean,
tomorrow.
Can we just do this?
I mean, we should have already, but, you know, baseball, as we say, nobody hates baseball more than baseball. And you're right that they should do it, but it's like, God, it's like, why did we have to wait for this? Like, all right, we don't want to give him the moment, so now that he's gone, now we can make sure to put him on there.
Well, it's like a final dig, right?
Well, I think the big part
of
it,
so that way he can't enjoy it.
I think the big part of it is obviously Rule 21. Rule 21 was created 1919. Thank you, White Sox. Thanks, guys, again.
Well, and that one's still even controversial, too.
That
if you
is.
Dive into it.
It was all, everyone else is guilty. Shoeless is the controversial.
Exactly.
It was all just a big misunderstanding, okay?
Joe Jackson had web gems and batted 350 in that World Series. He's the one that's controversial. Everyone else is guilty AF.
Well, there's still, even beyond Shoeless Joe, there's a couple of guys, they were all acquitted in court, by the way. Like, there are legal connections that were not made between them and the gamblers.
If
so
the
there's
glove
there's,
don't fit, you
they're like the Nazis,
acquit.
Basically.
There's just a little bit of a gray area there, and with, you know, the same thing with Pete Rose, there's a little
they
bit of a gray area.
They got to work at
NASA here.
Afterwards.
You know, Pete's biggest downfall is that Pete always, for lack of better terms, bet on himself.
Yep.
And when he was caught, he doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down. It wasn't until he was later that he acknowledged it, but also didn't acknowledge the full extent. And baseball is the only Hall of Fame that takes into account you as a human being, paging Curt Schilling. And that was Pete's price that he had to pay. Barry, Alex, Roger, Mark, Sammy, Manny, those guys are all paying a price.
Rafi?
They're all paying a price. Their price is no haul. And Pete's price was no haul, too. But Pete's price is a little different than everybody else's. And because Pete always denied, he became combative towards Major League Baseball. And now that we sit here and Pete can't get autographs as a Hall of Famer, Pete can't get speaking occasions as a Hall of Famer, this man, 4,256, he had almost 16,000 plate appearances. He was on base over 5,000 times in his career. This is the time we're going to do this. And we might do it in the future when it really comes up. The Hall of Fame is separate from Major League Baseball.
Yep.
They talk to each other, but they are not combined to each other. I think now is the time that the Hall of Fame, put them on the ballot. Let people vote.
I mean, absolutely.
Let them vote.
Absolutely. You should have done it a long time ago. It's just holding these grudges. It's dumb, especially when this dude didn't really do anything as far as like altering his performance at all.
I don't think he threw games.
No.
He might have known as a manager they were going to lose and maybe bet against the Reds or the Phillies.
Well, he always claimed that he bet on his own team to win. I'm not sure that we're ever going to know the truth.
And I don't believe that because he's a degenerate. Well, so I think there's exactly. Times where he's like, oh, that starting pitcher's better than us. Yeah, I'll take them over.
Well,
us.
It cracks me up is that John Dowd, the lawyer that did the investigation, the Dowd report.
I have the Dowd report at my house printed
so
out.
So Pete Rose.
It's 400 pages.
Pete Rose said, you know, I bet on my team every night. I didn't bet on my team four nights a week. I bet on my team to win every night because I love my team. And it was like, Dowd disputed Rose's contention. He bet on his team every night, asserting Rose did not bet on his team when Mario Soto or Bill Gullickson pitched, which is like, maybe I don't lay a bet on my team tonight. He's like, I'm not going to bet against my team, but I'm just not going to bet on my team tonight.
But
they should do this. I mean, again, it's petty to do it after he passes, and it's just like, oh, well, now that he's gone, yeah, so I guess we could put everything aside.
But I would argue that now that Pete is gone, I would argue that Pete's debt's been paid.
I
would argue his debt has been paid, and it's funny to say because he's a gambler. But
now that you died,
but
you
I would argue,
your debt.
But I would argue that Pete is now exonerated. Okay, you messed up, you did problems, and your punishment is you don't get to enjoy that moment. But for the history of baseball, for the people like me that love the history of baseball, that romanticize the history of baseball, I cannot imagine telling my children when they're like, tell me about baseball, how I'm not talking to them about 4,256 hits.
There's one thing, though. I almost agree, but there's one thing that keeps me from saying, yes, he's completely exonerated, and that is his denials publicly until 2004, when he finally, after, 15 years, admitted to everybody, yes, I bet on baseball. And it's just these series of half-truths that he always told. If he were caught in the late 80s and then came clean with everything then, I don't think this would even be a conversation. I think, yep, yeah, he would have been in even 10 years ago, possibly more. But it's the repeated denials and the treatment of people that always questioned him. I think that's... It's kind of my point about like Barry Bonds and why he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame on top of his steroid use. He's just a D. And I think Pete Rose was a little bit of a D to the people in baseball investigating him. And I just wonder if that pettiness is going to keep him out.
Well, this is quite honestly, I'm going to be old curmudgeon man here, is that quite frankly, it is the Baseball Hall of Fame. It is not the Baseball and How Was His Character Hall of Fame.
Like, but it is, though.
To me,
they've been wrong on that in the past.
Does Baseball Reference show his character? Does Baseball Reference show how good of a person he was? It shows his insane stats.
And it's all over the Vancouver text line right now. Like, I can't read these because they're all about... underage girls. I mean, someone like that.
Well,
I
totally understand. It also brings up, like, you know, people are bringing that up, but also Ty Cobb was an openly racist.
That's what I'm going to say. The first member of the Baseball Hall of Fame is Ty Cobb, who is one of the most inhumane pieces of S.
But boy, could he put that stick on the ball.
Ah, four banger there from Cobb, well, and the Tigers win again.
Isn't
there
an autobiographical dispute of Ty Cobb being that way? Weren't some of these or a lot of these stories overblown? I don't think I'm making this up.
Well, no, I think everybody knows that Ty Cobb was a terrible human being.
Yeah. Well, he did charge.
Spikes up.
Yeah, spikes up, charged into the crowd to beat up, like, yeah. No,
he was walking through Detroit to go to the stadium, went down an alley, got mugged, stabbed the guy, killed him, and then went 5 for 5.
I guess that's what you had to do to survive in the teens.
I wish you could do that in MLB The Show.
Story time with Uncle Patrick right there.
Grand Theft Auto plus The Show.
What a challenge.
I just think if we're talking about the history of baseball and what we do here on this show, we don't talk about Trevor Bauer. We don't talk about steroid guys. We talk about what goes on the field. And I cannot tell you how I'm supposed to talk about the history of baseball without 4,256. I just don't know. Put him on the ballot. I'll tell you what. That's what I would say. Put him on the ballot. Let the voters decide. I know we got issues with the voters and how they do stuff. I hate what they do. It's my life goal to be a Hall of Fame voter. I disagree with a lot of things that Bagwell and Piazza and Pudge Rodriguez
just
are in.
Just don't have them speak.
And Ortiz are in, but Ramirez is not in, etc. Like, I've got issues. But put them on the ballot. Let people choose. If they choose not to put them in, they choose not to put them in the same way they choose not to put in Barry and Alex and Manny, etc. Let them choose.
I mean, here I am looking at an article. Rogers Hornsby was probably in the KKK.
Yeah. See?
Like, to me,
and his baseball card is the most expensive card ever made in the history of baseball.
There are persistent rumors that Hornsby was a member of the KKK.
Oh, my God.
Persistent. See? Put him on the ballot. Let people choose. That's all I'm asking. And that's all I'm saying.
And also, like, some of these players that are live, like, hey, you got selected for the Hall of Fame. We're going to have a bust in there. We're going to have a plaque. We're going to do all this. But
you can put under it.
We're not giving you a ceremony. We're not letting you have a whole little speech and thanking whoever and getting going up there and getting to say whatever you want, especially Curt Schilling.
You can put on his plaque in year this, Giamatti banned him from baseball for life for his contributions to betting on the game. You can do that. Steroids are different than betting. Let them choose. If I ever get a vote for Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, and I'm the first year that Rose goes on the ballot, I will vote for Pete Rose and nobody else.
That's bold, but I like it. I like it.
Whitey Ford.
4,256.
Whitey Ford in the Baseball Hall of Fame, even though he's confessed to cheating.
Okay.
Also seen this in this article.
We're talking about a lot of old school players, though, right?
Not everybody is Roberto Clemente.
It's true.
You know? Derek Jeter, like,
a fake nice guy.
Do you
want
to talk about nightlife?
He'd give a girl the herps and then a fruit basket.
Yeah, Jeets.
Justin Timberlake has herpes, and I know that because his wife slept with Derek Jeter.
Oh.
What goes around comes around, as JT said.
It goes around.
So I guess then Cameron Diaz does too, doesn't she?
Oh,
I think 99% of people in Los Angeles
have the herpaderp.
The herpaderp.
100%.
All right, let's get out. We're getting out of control here.
Sorry. Dane Cook throwback.
That's it.
We're spiraling.
R.I.P. to the Hit King. Say what you want about him as a person and his autographs and his fiend for money. Pete Rose is one of the greatest hitters, if not the greatest hitters. Pete Rose, Tony Gwynn, Ichiro Suzuki. Those are the three best hitters ever in the history of baseball. Make a choice. Let people choose. When we come back, wild card. Joe's O's. Uh-oh. To any of the fan, but there's Schulze with sports. Ichiro Suzuki, Tony Gwynn, Pete Rose. Those are the greatest hitters of all time. You got arguments?
I mean, Ted Williams.
No.
Maybe.
Ooh, Teddy might.
Yeah, I got Teddy ball game. The convo, at least.
Good call.
I feel like there's maybe one missing there.
The guy that's hit 400 five times in his life. Yeah,
Babe Ruth, probably. Hank Aaron belong in the convo.
Nah, pure hitters.
That glizzy sucker was
I'm talking about pure hitters.
Hank Aaron was not a pure hitter.
Not dudes that hit dongs. I'm talking about dudes that the hard work.
Hey, I will say, though, pretty wild.
Pete Rose once went 5-for-5 against Gaylord Perry.
What is it? In the last 2 to 3 months that we lost two of the more polarizing names in all of baseball.
Ooh, Dikembe.
No, yeah, in baseball.
Did. Oh.
In 2 to 3 months in baseball, Willie Mays.
Oh, yeah, and, Willie.
By the way, Hank Aaron also hit about 3,800 total hits in all of MLB, so I'm pretty sure he's pretty up there on the all-time hits
list. Not 4,250.
I'm not saying he's the leader, but to keep him out of the all-time hitters conversation, I think, is a mistake.
Yeah, let's keep filibustering and arguing so we don't have to talk about one of the wild card games.
There's a lot of wild card action today. We'll get into that. We'll be quick because we went long last, so we'll come back real quickly. So I'll finish with this. In case you live in a hole and listen to this baseball show but don't know what happened today.
I want to know.
The Mets beat the Brewers today 8-4. They are hot.
And
the Mets are
starting. That's Brewers postseason baseball.
That's
baby.
Brewers postseason baseball. I saw they cut to a fan in the crowd, and my buddy next to me, who really isn't a baseball fan, goes, "Man, that guy just bought $5 $16 beers and he's pissed." Yeah. And I was like, "Well, he's a Brewers fan, so he's probably used to this." So the Mets beat the Brewers 8-4. They're hot.
I wonder.
It'll be fun to watch over the next couple of days. Are the Mets the Arizona Diamondbacks or the Texas Rangers of this year? Are they just hot and the wrong team to play right now? KC Baltimore, fascinating game. 1-0 in the end. Cole Reagans versus Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns pitched really well. Cole Reagans pitched really well. The morning game for us on the West Coast was Detroit-Houston. I'll tell you what, we'll say this real quick because we'll get out of here and then we'll break down some of these games. All three of these games, it's so funny. We watched Braves-Mets yesterday in a doubleheader,
mm-hmm.
and it felt like bonus postseason.
Yes.
It's so funny that you move to the next day. And the feeling, the culture is completely different.
How so?
It's playoff baseball.
Oh,
you're watching every. I heard Isaac say this on primetime earlier.
It's a little bit of a vibe shift.
Yeah, I heard Isaac say this on primetime earlier because the Mets were on and the Royals were on, which is Isaac and Jason's teams. Isaac was like, "It's so funny. Baseball starts in the postseason and you can't focus." And I think that's a really cool thing about baseball.
It definitely got to a point later in the day where I was very upset with how my game went. And Bossman Cooley was still trying to like interact and talk about the other games, what was going on. And I wasn't having it.
Yeah,
I was not in the mood whatsoever. Yep. And I don't blame him because, yes, postseason baseball does that. You're like, "Oh, this is happening. Ooh, that game. Oh, what's going on here?" But at that point, I was checked out.
And I will tell
checked
you,
out for the
yesterday day. On Monday, there were 4 primetime big sporting events on in the day. Mets-Braves.
Maybe 3.
Titans, Dolphins.
That we can exclude that one.
And Seahawks, Lions. Okay.
Did you see the Dolphins offense?
So you got 4 quote unquote big games of big leagues on the same day. Best game of the day was the morning game for baseball.
100%.
And you cut to day two, and that's against the NFL. I agree that Tennessee-Miami game, we all knew it was going to be brutal, and it was absolutely brutal.
Hey.
But Lions-Seahawks was a good and entertaining game.
It was pretty interesting up until the end there. But yes,
but the game of the day was a baseball game.
The best game was that Braves-Mets game.
Was a baseball game. And it's funny, now we get to today where there's four games. Padres are up 4-0 on the Braves. That this, now it's baseball's turn. Now it's baseball's turn. Baseball is not playing games this week on Friday.
Correct.
And I'm so sad about that.
It
could have been their day.
Hey, you got to give the stage to the Ducks, Michigan State, baby. Jonathan Smith's return to Autzen. All right, going to get blown out again.
38-12.
Gosh, I'm trying to think. There is another game on Friday, college football, and it's totally escaping me. It's not as big of a deal.
I've given up on college.
Syracuse UNLV. That's a big matchup. UNLV's trying to stay undefeated. All right.
I gave up.
Run, Reb, run.
I gave up on college football. I watched this Gentry kid do Michael Vick stuff, and I'm over it.
Oh, Genty?
Genty. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know if you...
That was a rough Saturday night.
I know that we have to go, but...
17-10 at halftime. I was like, ooh, we get the ball. Feeling good.
Boy.
Feeling good.
I bet on your Cougs.
Feeling good.
I was feeling good about...
Never bet on Wazoo.
That escalated.
Never bet on Wazoo.
Learned my lesson on Saturday.
I don't know if you looked at his stats through four games.
It's like 800 yards and 14 touchdowns.
12.
12. It's stupid.
Bum.
Dude, he averaged 180 going into the game, and now he averages 200.
You know what team has held him to the least amount of rushing yards this season in those four games?
What, the Oregon Ducks, and he torched him for 175 and three tuds?
No. Blow the horn, the Portland State Vikings.
Get out of here. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. All right, when we come back, let's dive into what we saw today, and let's look at the wild card and what's going on. This is the Hot Corner. Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll dive into a little bit of what the hell's going on in the San Francisco Giants. Paging Ryan Buckley. And maybe we'll talk a little Charlie Blackman. We'll see. We might hold those off for the next week or some off-season stuff, but it's wild card time, baby, as the Padres just beat the Braves. That game went final 4-0.
Oh, God, let me just see this stat that Michael King, his performance, put him in rarefied
air. I just saw, they showed a stat, but I didn't quite get to see it, but apparently he had a great night tonight.
Damn it! Yeah, it was like 10-plus strikeouts, no runs given up, no walks. Only fifth time in postseason history that's been done. But strangely enough, all five of those performances have been since like the new millennium.
Oh, okay.
So none of them happened.
So it's more of a new age stat,
I guess. But I mean, still, that's pretty impressive. 12 strikeouts, and I don't think it was. Well, granted, he didn't give up an earned run either. So 10-plus strikeouts, no earned runs, no walks in a single postseason game.
I mean, that's good stuff. Like, I feel like Andy Pettit's done that, or Roger Clemens has done that, or
I know
Pedro. Or
Cliff Lee was one of them, obviously.
Cliff Lee, go Tribe.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll find it. I'll find the stat.
But what I find interesting from today's results, as the Tigers beat the Astros 3-1, Royals beat the Orioles 1-0, Mets over Milwaukee 8-4. And Padres over the Braves 4-0. The Padres game is the only one that I would pull away from what I'm about to say. But the three teams that won today are three teams that have been fighting for playoff life for the last few weeks, if not months.
Right.
And
if you would have extended the season by two more weeks, the Orioles might be in that conversation.
Yeah,
well.
And so I think you look at it like Seattle fell off really hard. So Houston had that division wrapped up, right? Milwaukee had been running the Central basically all season. The Cubs never showed signs of life. The Cardinals, again, worse than the Cubs, never showed signs of life. And Baltimore...
I mean, they had such a great start that it was like they put themselves in such a great position that...
They were kind of coasting, but they've not been good in the month of September.
No.
You know, that not series with the Yankees looked a little playoff-esque. A lot of those games were on big-time TV. but they never looked like the Orioles that they looked like in June when I was like, yep, that's my World Series pick. Felt good about that. Orioles look great. Rutsch, Gunner, the whole shebang. I find it fascinating that here we are. Now, there's a lot of other aspects, okay? Framber Valdez did not look good today. And Tarik Skubal looked the Cy Young winner that he is.
Yeah,
I still think it should be Emmanuel Clase, A, but Tarik Skubal looked the part.
Well, Valdez, or Framber, it was really one rough inning. But, I mean...
That's all it takes, though.
Yeah, against the Tigers, who... And, again, Tarik Skubal, who's been... Who is the Cy Young winner, pitching triple crown winner.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. Tigers, the Royals, and the Mets. Those are the three teams that were playing, essentially, playoff baseball the last few weeks.
And what's really funny with the Royals...
They played like today. Their season was on the line. Even though it wasn't technically.
What's fascinating about the Royals, to get to that, and Joe, this isn't an anti-Orioles thing. I think the Orioles will win this series.
Oh, God.
I really do.
Kiss of death.
But the Royals haven't played well.
No, that's why it's even
They've
more
been
frustrating.
They've so bad in September.
No, they have been they've had two separate seven-game losing streaks in like the back half of the season. It's driving me nuts.
But they walked into a game today. Like, we're going to go home if we lose this game. I mean, maybe not. I think there's more pressure on the Orioles to win the game today because Corbin Burnes is the one trustee you have on the mound for the Orioles. But Cole Reagans was great today.
Yeah, he was.
He was absolutely fantastic. And the Royals win.
The only reason he got pulled is because he was dealing with... It wasn't back spasms. It was, they said it in the broadcast a couple times, but he would have gone more, but he pulled something. He had an injury.
And they were just playing it safe because they think they're going further.
Well, at this point, I would, I would feel like he would be going.
And let's
further.
Be real. Who's throwing tomorrow for Detroit? Kenta Maeda?
I don't know.
Seth Lugo throwing for the Royals tomorrow?
He is.
Seth Lugo's been great this season, but do you trust him? Absolutely not.
I at this point trust him more than Zach Eflin. And it will not be Kenta Maeda pitching. It will be Tyler Holton pitching for the Tigers.
Kazoon tight. The Mets against Milwaukee, a back and forth game. Weird. The Mets know how to do this back and forth game thing. Oh, you go up on us? Oh, okay. We'll go up on you. Oh, you got back up on us? Like, Severino didn't throw well today. But it doesn't matter. They won 8-4. And you cut to Brewers fans, and they're like, oh, my God, we're doing this again. And it's like, yeah, you are. Against a Mets team, in my opinion, is the worst team in the playoffs. Of all the teams in the playoffs, I think the Mets are the worst.
I mean, hindsight's 20-20, but again, the way that the Royals had been playing leading up to this postseason, the way that the Orioles had been playing, like, to me, as far as teams that are not playing up to their potential and playing some of their worst baseball, I would say those two teams are playing some of the worst baseball out of all the playoff teams right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Tomorrow's going to be absolutely fascinating. I can't wait to see it. We might dive into some more wild card chatter, maybe looking ahead to see what we think these series might go to, but just an absolute fascinating day one.
All I'm saying as far as the matchup tomorrow is I am nervous about the Brewers. They have Frankie Montas going on the mound instead of Tobias Myers, which I would have Tobias out there. I don't know if they're going to make a change last minute and end up putting him out there and starting him instead because your season's on the line here.
Yep.
And I would Tobias Myers has been your better pitcher all year long.
And you're playing a team with Mojo.
Yes. So put out your best arm.
Momentum in baseball is everything.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm nervous for them tomorrow. I'm nervous for my Orioles. Again, if Lugo throws a gem and he just might be feeling confident just because they do have that 1-0 lead.
He's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just, I'm scared. I'm scared.
We'll touch back up on wild card in the second hour, but when we come back, let's get into this because I think this is fascinating. The Giants, what the hell is going on? Loaded second hour, plus fair or foul. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good. I'm gonna read it. Dear Chase... Oh, there's stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Oreolify.
Why do we have to go there?
A little bit of a stretch.
Why do we have to?
Not at all.
A little bit of a stretch?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. That one sucked.
Joe's mad.
Why am I taking pleasure in your pain?
You're just mad.
Yeah, you're right.
So you're just like anybody that's sad, you're like, yeah, suck it, loser.
Yay, you're with me.
Yeah, it's just I'm spent. My team's failing in the postseason, late in the season. Again. It's rough. You don't want this life. You don't know what it's like to be me.
Yeah, you're right, Joe. I don't know what it's like to lose two game sevens and extra innings on walk-offs. You're right. I don't know what it's like.
Or how about losing a wild card game when your best closing pitcher is still in the bullpen and you throw out Ubaldo Jimenez instead?
That was tough.
One of the biggest home runs ever.
That. But I also live.
The ball is still in orbit.
But I also live the 2016 World Series in extra innings and the 1997 World Series in extra innings. You know, the last time we won a World Series, Joe, Jackie Robinson was in his sophomore season.
Robinson the third?
No, the first. Just throwing that out there. We got fair or foul.
Baseball sucks.
We got fair or foul coming up at the bottom of the hour. And in 15 minutes, we'll dive into some more wild card stuff. But there's a story going on right now that normally we could have saved for the offseason. But I kind of want to get into now as it's extremely topical and very fascinating to me. The San Francisco Giants have fired Farhan Zaidi, their president of baseball operations, and replaced him with Buster Posey.
Buckley's dog?
Buckley's dog is now the president of baseball ops.
Might do a better job.
And I think this is fascinating. I think what's so interesting about this is I don't remember if I actually said it, but I liked the Giants to get to the playoffs this year. And a lot of that is because I think Bob Melvin is a wonderful manager.
I had him finishing second behind the Dodgers in the division, yeah. Which de facto probably would have put him in the postseason.
Considering the Padres are in and the Diamondbacks missed it because Frankie Lindor hit a dinger. I agree. What's going on there? We talked about Matt Chapman a couple weeks ago as he signed his extension. And he did not want to negotiate with Zaidi. And it was Buster Posey that came in and convinced him to re-sign. And then there's all this rumor, all this chatter that Chapman has said, I've talked to other free agents, and now that I'm staying here, other people want to get here. It feels a little Trumpian to me, but I'll give him a little benefit of the doubt as he is a player that does talk to other players.
And I was definitely on the side of, I don't think there's really anything to this. Like, I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but when there's smoke, there's fire.
So
there's someone being fired.
So I'm curious now, and then today they fired the GM. This is Buster Posey's show right now.
Yeah, he's got a lot to learn in a quick amount of time, but, you know, give it to a catcher, you know, as far as being able to manage a team.
And we see a lot of former players becoming managers and... you know, Jeter had his time as an exec in Miami, and whether they
went fantastically,
they succeed or fail is beyond the point. But I think what's most fascinating about this Giants thing is since they've since they went on their run in 2010, won three World Series in 5 years. Since they went on that run, 3-4, I should say, technically, this was a organization that felt a little Steelers-esque, felt a little Detroit Red Wings-esque in terms of teams that have massive stability in ownership, the front office, and here we are now. The president of baseball operations is fired to be hired by a guy with zero experience whose name will be in Cooperstown someday.
Well, he's already handled one negotiation. He's fine.
Right.
I mean,
was that it? Was that the interview?
Yes.
Was that the interview?
Well, because he was part of, he came in as part of their ownership group originally, right? Like, yeah. Buster Posey bought in, and then I'm like, okay, I don't know if owners can be GMs, but then when we saw this news happening, I'm like, there is no way that Buster Posey is not talking to whoever the head guy is in that ownership office, being like, you know, I think I could do a little bit better, and here we are. Like, who else other than the GM negotiates with free agents or impending free agents usually? Who?
Well, I think that, yeah, I think that this front office, this team is definitely trying to use the lore of
the Hall
past
of Famer
teams, to entice teams. And probably Buster Posey still has cachet in this league with players and is known as one of the nicest dudes, best guys in the league, that's going to be able to go far in negotiations. This was actually from the San Francisco Gate today. That they said that the San Francisco Giants media are finally revealing all the Farhan Zaidi grievances. One of them being NBC Sports Bay Area's Alex Pavlovich, who reported on Monday that the coldness with which Zaidi did business took its toll on the clubhouse.
And I find that fascinating. I actually read something to stick up for Farhan right now, that everybody is really mad about not re-signing Brandon Crawford.
Yeah, that was one of them.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a big one. But Zaidi's response to that is, do you really want me to re-sign a shortstop that has a -2 war?
Hey, four-time gold glove winner.
But he's done. But he's toast.
Yeah, he's washed.
Yeah, he's washed. Yeah. Like, you're mad. And that's what I'll give Farhan a little bit of credit for here. You got to make bad choices. Or not bad choices, hard choices. You know, do you think the GM in St. Louis is getting S because he didn't re-sign Albert Pujols?
I mean, maybe a little bit.
At the moment, Cardinals fans are losing their mind. And then they watch his first two seasons in Anaheim, and they're like, whoa, thank God we didn't do that.
Also,
it's almost like, do you want everyone to operate your team the way Cashman and the Yankees do? This guy's been here for a long time. He's won World Series. Let's keep paying him even though he's washed.
To back up your point a little bit, is Pavlovich also reported that the team took issue with the way Zaidi approached the trade deadline, both in how he treated it as if he were on the way out and how he pushed out Alex Cobb, a well-liked player on the roster, which, listen, Alex Cobb, not that great of a pitcher. Like,
right.
If he's a good clubhouse guy, I get it. There is something
he's had
said about
Chase
that.
He's had a Chase Daniel-type career in the major
leagues.
Yeah,
but, like, getting rid of Alex Cobb is not like, what are we doing, man? Well, there goes the season.
And Alex Cobb was traded to my team, and they got two high-risk, high-reward prospects. If we gave them up, it's probably not going to work because Cleveland has a very, very good farm system. But what has Alex Cobb done for the Cleveland Guardians since he's been there?
3 starts.
16 innings.
Yeah.
And that's it. He's not even on. He's probably not going to be on the roster for the division series. So you took a flyer on two prospects that are probably not going to work out, but you got a shot for a guy that nobody cares about. That's not a bad deal. However, as I've been, like, sticking up for Farhan Zaidi here, something's wrong. in San Francisco. And they got young guys, they got pitching, and they got Bob Melvin, and they're not winning.
Now, I will say, I'm not an Alex Cobb fan because it seemed like the one bad stint he had with a team was with my Baltimore Orioles.
Of course. Alex Cobb has had a bad stint with every team that's your team, unless you're the Seattle Mariners.
Let's see. What else? Obviously, there's
probably Cy Young on Seattle if you got there.
There was a report that obviously Buster Posey dealing with the Matt Chapman contract negotiations. There was also how the organization handled two heralded prospects in the Giants system, Marco Luciano and Tyro Estrada, the latter of which frustrated many in a clubhouse that already was confused by the general plan.
Do you think Zaidi is also catching strays from not signing Correa or Judge? Or Otani.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a little bit just because of, like, you know, one is unlucky, two is a coincidence, three is a trend.
Right,
like,
right.
So
Correa was a good deal. We said that on this show, that it turned out that not signing Correa was a good idea. But he missed out on Judge, but Judge went to the Yankees, and he was always going to go to the Yankees.
He used the San Francisco Giants as a bargaining chip to up the New York Yankees offer. And all know that.
And it sounds like he offered the same deal to Otani that the Dodgers did, but the Dodgers are better than the Giants right now. Sorry, that's just the truth.
I just went to a Los Angeles Dodgers game, actually, last Thursday, by the way, when they clinched the NL West division title. And, yeah, I see why Shohei signed with the LA Dodgers.
Yeah, everybody that's else. Where you want to be.
There is no bigger party than watching a baseball game, or at least a meaningful baseball game, at Dodger Stadium. It was insane.
I think what's fascinating, what I'll say, I know I'm sitting here, like, sticking up for Zaidi. I think it's the first time I've seen in a very long time that the Giants front office is a little bit of a mess. And that'd be the same as saying the Rooneys and Tomlin are a mess in Pittsburgh. They're never a mess. They're never a mess. Popovich and the Steelers, they're never a mess. That now one of these teams that is never a mess is a little bit of a mess. I was talking with Buckley out there, out in the bullpen when I went to go use the facility. And he was like, it's a 3-year deal. They're giving him a chance, but it's a short deal. And if it doesn't work, they'll go somewhere else.
Well, and let's keep in mind that he did a pretty bang-up job as the Dodgers GM. He did a good job with the Athletics as well. So maybe it was just the timing of him taking this position and trying to essentially do things that might have worked with the Dodgers and the Athletics, and it just didn't work with this front office, and it, again, just rubbed some players the wrong way. One other thing is the guy who broke the story about Buster Posey dealing with the Matt Chapman negotiations at the Athletics, Andrew Baggerly. He said that Zaidi was uncomfortable taking control after the Giants' championship era, which coincided with commemorations of those title-winning teams disappearing from the clubhouse. The reporter also cited anonymous sources who said scouts and player development officials took issue with director of pitching Brian Bannister's being allowed to work remotely because he wouldn't follow MLB's COVID-19 vaccine mandates.
Oof.
For many within the Giants front office, the entire operation developed a work-from-home feel.
Are you sure his name wasn't Nick Rolovich?
Wait, hold on. There it is, actually.
Yeah, actually, it's Nick Rolovich.
The move had ramifications throughout the organization.
Yeah, so I think it's fascinating. It'll be fun to watch. I want to root for Buster Posey. Buster's a first-bout Hall of Famer, you know, of all the catchers I have watched in my life. You know, we talked about Pete Rose at the beginning of the show. My mom always beat it down my head, and I will still to this day tell you that Johnny Bench is the greatest catcher of all time. But of the catchers I watch that aren't steroid induced, paging Pudge, Buster might be my number one. You know, he hit well. They created rules for Buster Posey. He's caught perfect games, no hitters, 3 titles. That resume tells me that maybe I should give Buster a chance. Joe, you made a joke earlier, but it's not really a joke. He managed a pitching staff for 3 World Series, maybe he can manage a ball club.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very intrigued to see what happens with the Giants going forward, because it does definitely seem like a lot of this move is based off, like, let's get back to our
Giants
guys,
baseball.
Our team, building that culture back up with our former players. And having,
they got kids, Patrick Bailey, Logan Webb, like, they got guys that could be there for the future.
There's also something about being said about, surrounding yourself with people that are like, oh, yeah, dude, we're great. We're awesome. Look at us. Yeah. Oh, he played on the Giants back in 2012. And oh, this guy, we're awesome. We're all good. And then if things don't go according to plan and you're not winning games like you envision to, like, how long does that feeling last?
Yeah. Is Rich Aurelia about to be the third base coach? You know, like, are we doing this?
Get Mad Bum as a pitching coach.
Yeah, is Mad Bum the pitching coach? Are we doing this, or are we putting real baseball guys around it?
Yeah, and again, I'm intrigued to see what happens with Zaidi, where he goes after this.
You think he gets another GM game?
If he goes somewhere, if he just ends up as an analytics, sabermetrics guy somewhere, I mean, I don't know. But I'm intrigued to see how both these paths go, the Giants and Zaidi.
Hey, Miami's a cool town. Team might not be great, but Miami's a cool town.
They might be good with a dog managing their team, too.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, let's get into a little more wild card action. How do we see the rest of these series go? That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. This is 1080 The Fan. Coming up in 15 minutes, we got Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite. We'll get to that. This is the best time of the year, my friends. This is it. And if you're just a sports fan in general, is that Becky Hammond?
That is.
On TV?
Yes, sir. She,
boy, she has aged quickly.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but I'm glad you did. Wow.
Well, coaching does that to anybody, y'all.
She don't look great.
Nobody looks good after coaching for 10 to 15 years, unless you're like Eric Spoelstra living in Miami.
I mean, yeah, I got to look up Becky Hammond like 5 years ago.
Is Iniesta going to win a title?
I hope so.
So you got the WNBA championship going on right now. We got baseball playoffs, NFL's in full swing. My Cougs got absolutely destroyed, taken out back. Do you know that the Boise State quarterback is one of the most trash quarterbacks I've seen?
Maddox Mattson?
He is terrible.
He's not great.
Doesn't matter when you have a running back
that rushes for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, you win games. You got college football. That Georgia-Bama game was absolutely incredible. I was so excited. I'm so happy I got to watch that game. And the NFL, obviously, Devontae Adams wants to trade, and the Vikings are good, I guess. And the Bengals are bad, I guess.
I've lost money against the Vikings 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, stop.
I'm about to do it for a third.
What is this, a Sprague pick? There's a lot going on, but my friends, it's October baseball and it's playoff baseball. And today was a wonderful opening day of playoff baseball. Yeah, it really was.
Almost wonderful.
I know, Joe, your team lost, but let's be real for a minute. I know you're joshing. I know you're joking, but today was a great day for opening day of postseason baseball.
Great pitching performances. Those are fun moments when you got pitchers going deep into games.
Tarik Skubal is a quiet guy, and he struck out someone at the end of the sixth inning and started yelling.
F yeah!
Yeah, as he was walking out. Like, that's amazing. And I think these games are really great, so I want to dive into them. Detroit's up 1-0, Kansas City up 1-0, Mets up 1-0, Padres up 1-0. Which, take your Orioles fan hat off. Which of these series is the must-watch for you going forward, knowing today's results?
I'd say Tigers-Astros.
Yeah.
Intrigued what happens with one tomorrow, just because the Astros, as we've said for years now, death by 1,000 cuts.
And we're all rooting against them.
The Tigers.
Nobody is rooting for the Astros.
Tigers are the hottest
team.
Even
Dusty Hera, my good friend, wonderful human being Dusty Hera, knows that his team is a bunch of losers.
No matter how much he wants to tell you otherwise. I would say that's the most intriguing because, dude, if the Tigers win tomorrow, and just bam, bam, take care of the Astros. And then they go up against your Guardians.
And the Tigers are the one team I don't want to play.
Dude.
I don't want to play them. I don't want to see Tark Skubal.
A team getting hot. And then if they won tomorrow, he would be on enough. I mean, he might be on enough, as is, to start game
He'll probably throw game two.
I mean, he'll get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days rest. I might want to give him a 4 day.
I think you give him a 4 day.
Yeah.
Because you're ahead of schedule. Detroit's ahead of schedule. And I think that's what's so fun about this Detroit team. And I will agree with you, Joe. I think the matchup that I'm most excited about is this Detroit-Houston because they're ahead of schedule. In 2015, when the Royals won the World Series, they played this up-and-coming team called the Astros. And they were ahead of schedule. And that Astros team was super fun. They eventually lost because this is pre-current wild card format. They lost in a full five-game series. But those games were fascinating. And I think that's where Detroit is right now. I want to see, is this young team stepping up or are they playing out of their skis?
There is something intriguing about the Mets-Brewers game just because of the fact that Sean Manaea is the probable pitcher for the Mets. And I'm just going to be like, boy, if they get away with this, I mean, they might go all the way.
See, that's the thing. And that's the great.
If they get away with Sean Manaea starting this second game, winning, and then advancing, it's like, dude, I might be laying some money on the Mets to win the whole damn thing at this
point. I'm so glad you say that because the Mets, that is exactly what it is. Are they really going to get away with this? Texas was that way last year. When Texas won the World Series, it was like, oh my God, they're going to get away with this. But then Corey Seager started doing Corey Seager things, and you were like, okay, that guy's a superstar. That makes sense.
Corey.
But you're going to tell me that the Mets threw Luis Severino and Sean Manaea and got out of the wild card in a sweep?
That's what I'm saying. I would be pissed because, again, I would love to see I would love to see Tobias Myers pitch at least one playoff game. So I kind of hope that the Brewers win this tomorrow. One, for their fans' sake. They might just riot out.
Oh, my God. There's those guys. And Pat Murphy might jump off a bridge in Milwaukee.
Yeah, this might look like
that guy's a crazy SOB.
This might look like the riots from 2020 again.
Pat Murphy reminds me of Matt Campbell. They're Dan Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
They're red ass, biting kneecaps kind of guy that they've got teams that shouldn't be good, but then you look at the roster and you're like, well, actually, this team's really good.
All right. Pat Murphy, former Arizona State manager, I believe, and played his collegiate baseball there, forks up. But yeah, I am intrigued with the Tigers and the Astros game, and then just to see if the Mets get away with being able to start Sean Manaea in 2024 and win a postseason game.
It's so crazy. This Mets team is not good.
I
think of all the teams in the playoffs, I think the Mets are the worst team in the playoffs.
I don't know. Just the way
to bottom, I think the Mets are the worst team in the playoffs, and they're going to advance.
I mean, they got the worst pitching staff.
Like, easy. They won today. Milwaukee is so done, in my opinion. They're done.
I hope not. I want to see Tobias Myers pitch that game three.
So we're Brewers fans tomorrow.
Yes, and also, for some reason, whenever I jump on Twitter and look up the Mets, I keep seeing the Hawk Tua girl because she threw out a first pitch for him earlier in the year. And
Tua and spit on that thing.
That thing's run its course, all right?
Yeah.
No, it hasn't. She's got like the second or third most popular new podcast right now.
Keyword new. And it's kind of like the XFL. Everybody watched it
week one and maybe week two, and then it was done.
I will say the name for that podcast is very clever. Do you know what it is?
No.
Talk to her. I'm like, all right, I don't know who came up with that, but.
Oh, Corey, yeah. You thrilled our fans.
A very, very smart person, I'm sure.
Give him a raise.
You know what's funny, Joe, is that we sit here and it's like Detroit, Houston, Mets, Brewers. The best series, though, to be honest with you, is Kansas City, Baltimore. It really is.
I think too.
Because I think Kansas City is built sneakily good. I said it in the preseason. This team spent money. Who got the RBI today? Bobby Witt. They got a stud. And Baltimore has insane amount of pressure on them.
I am intrigued to see how Eflin does, because he is, you know, now granted, I mean, was it, he's been on the Rays before this for two seasons, one and a half?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't know where he was before. Well, I will look while you talk.
Gosh, I'm stupid. I was thinking of Savali. I was
Aaron Savali. Well, he was in Cleveland.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, well, before he went to Tampa, I was like, oh, he was in Cleveland, so he might know how to pitch against these guys. But that was Aaron Savali, who went from Cleveland to Tampa.
Oh, Zach Eflin was on the Phillies.
Yeah. Yeah. So negate everything I was about to say about that. But, I mean, hell, I'm just intrigued to see what the hell he gives the Orioles tomorrow, because it's been pretty inconsistent for him throughout the year. The season is going to fall on his shoulders. He was one of the trade deadline acquisitions for the Orioles. I'm praying.
I think what's interesting as we look, you know, we as the media look at Detroit Houston for the storyline. We want to see Houston go down. We want to see Detroit be a young team that has no business being in the playoffs that does something. Okay. The Mets are in New York. They were terrible the first half of the season, and they came on strong. That's storylines. Pull the curtain back. That's what we want to talk about as media. But the reality is let's talk about the sport. And Baltimore is built to be a dynasty. And they threw Burns today. And the Royals, I don't know if this was a choice. I don't know if this is just days rest and this is how it lined up. But to throw Cole Reagans against Corbin Burns, to me, says we expect to lose this game. Let's try and lose this game 2-1 or 3-1 or 4-2.
I mean,
something like that. We're going to throw Reagans. Let's hope he pitches into the sixth. Let's not tax our bullpen. We'll lose to the Orioles in game one, and we'll come back game two with Seth Lugo.
Well, I mean,
But they pulled out today and won. That changes the whole dynamic of how you manage this series.
I'd say keep in mind that, I mean, Reagans, he was an all-star, and was maybe the better pitcher out of those two the second half of the season between him and Lugo. I mean, Lugo, he was still good throughout the year, but in the second half, he had some bad starts.
I'm aware. He was on my fantasy team.
And Cole Reagan. So them throwing, and I, you know, I'm pretty pissed at my buddy. I started doing a podcast with him, and, you know, we were talking about gambling, things like that. And he's asked me, he's like, are your Orioles going to be able to hit Cole Reagan's today? He texted me that at like 10 a.m. or something.
And your answer
like that
was probably, yeah, we'll get to him.
My response was, I X'd out Reagans and the Royals. I was like, are you pretty sure that the Royals are going to be able to hit Burns today?
Ooh,
and I was like,
baby,
I fixed that for you. And basically, they couldn't.
They couldn't.
Still,
Burns was great today.
They both
gave up Bobby Witt.
Both teams gave up five hits total, and it was just literally seemingly two at bats. That was the difference in that game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boy, this wild card is so fascinating.
Sick to my stomach, fam.
When we come back next week, we'll be right in the middle of the division series as my Guardians will take on the winner of Detroit-Houston. And I would honestly, as much as I'm rooting for Kansas City, I want to see Baltimore-New York. You know it. You know it, Joe.
Me? Yeah.
That's what everybody wants to see. We want to see Padres-Dodgers, Phillies, Braves, and Yankees, Orioles. That's what we want to see.
And Tigers, Guardians.
Whether the brackets work out that way or not, those are the matchups we want. We want to see division matchups. That's what we want to see in the playoffs. It's like you get to the NFC Championship and it's Cowboys, Eagles. That's must watch TV.
Yeah, when you get those divisional rivals, divisional matchups.
That's must-see TV.
Yes, and the bracket would work out where it would be Dodgers, Padres, and then it would be Mets, Phillies.
And I'm down for that.
I'd be here for
Mets, Phillies to watch two insufferable fan bases go after each other.
Yep, sign me up. I'm right there with you.
All right, we come back. It's everybody's favorite, fair or foul, but first I'll throw it to my homeboy, the guy, Jordan Schultze.
Is it fair or is it foul? Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
Nah, we ain't taking that. You can put it on the board.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
There was a presidential debate tonight, so I figured Castellanos might have done something, but the Phillies didn't play, so...
It was only vice presidential, so was just like, ah, whatever.
Well, Iran tried to bomb Israel today, so I figured Castellanos might have gone deep, but the Phillies didn't play.
As I always say, it's probably just a big misunderstanding.
Now, what did I do wrong?
All right, this is everybody's favorite Fair or Foul. We'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Jordan Schultze, the fifth.
Appreciate you. Appreciate y'all. Love that John Sterling's back in the booth for the Yankees, by the way. You told me that before the show. I had missed that little bitty of news, and that is just awesome.
I pooped him.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
Sports skirt very tight.
Getting higgy with it.
And this seventh inning stretch brought to you by Depends.
The home run
Stroka. Keep him in there till he's 110. He's one of those that you should. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. Just one of those voices, like maybe 5, 6, or 7 of all time that should give his voice to AI and technology can just replicate it till the ends of time.
He's no Tom Hamilton.
Down goes Anderson!
You're not
down
wrong.
Goes Anderson!
I will say, speaking of Depends real quickly.
So excited to hear Tom Hamilton in the playoffs.
I saw Emmitt Smith doing commercials for Depends.
Yes!
And it broke my damn heart.
Me too.
It made me feel old. It made me feel sad that one of my idols is hawking Depends now.
Yeah, it's one thing to see Marvin Harrison Jr. and you're like, oh, damn, I watched that guy in college and his whole NFL career. Okay, I can be fine with this. Fernando Tatis Jr., I can be fine. Vladdy, like, I can be fine with this. But when you're heroes are like, yeah, man, I poop in my pants all the time. In fact, if pee in your pants is cool, call me Miles Davis. You're like, oh, God, no.
I was crushed. I was crushed.
No, me too.
And I was like, I hope he's getting paid well for that.
All right, guys, let's start off with a very crushed MLB owner. That would be Arizona Diamondbacks owner Ken Kendrick.
Oh,
now,
I
loved his comments.
This guy.
Today.
Scorched effing earth.
Yeah. So, yeah.
He's still on your team.
Yeah, he's going to be on your team next year. If you've been living under a rock today, D-backs owner Ken Kendricks called out the signing of Jordan Montgomery, who went 8-7 with a 6.23 ERA in 21 starts after they signed him to a one-year $25 million contract. But he called himself out for it because he admitted to the media today he was the one that brought the idea to the general manager in the front office after Eduardo Rodriguez's
injury.
Hey, you know that guy beat us?
Let's go get him.
So, taking the blame for such a big signing, even on the eve of him most likely accepting a player option for almost just as much and being back on the team next year, guys, I want to ask you, fair or foul, just because he's the perfect combination of, you know, rich owner, willing to spend the money, but then not like the George Steinbrenner D-bag about it. He will admit when he makes a mistake, fair or foul, Arizona Diamondbacks owner Ken Kendrick is the coolest owner in all of baseball.
That's an absolute foul. You cannot do this. Like, I love that he does this, but you cannot. If he is a free agent, yeah. Hey, whoops, my bad. But he could come back next year.
I don't think he's gonna.
I don't think he's gonna opt out of that, go to a full spring training, ditch Scott Boras, and try to find a team as soon as possible. Like, if they're gone, then yeah, you can say, whoops, my bad. And I do respect that. I'm with you, Jordan, on that. I do respect the my bad, this was a bad signing. I should not have traded for Yoenis Cespedes at the trade deadline. I get that. I'm totally down with that. But the guy is on your team and will most likely be there next year. You cannot say that.
So the 2025
deal, it had a conditional player opt out if he started 10 games this season,
which he did.
So he ain't coming
he
back.
He ain't coming back. No.
What do you mean? He won't. No, guys, he is coming back because the open market will not pay him $22 million.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. He might go take 17 to not be in a place that somebody hates him and set it on TV.
How old is he? He's
would
like
you?
35
would
or
you?
6.
30, it's like, he's 31.
Would oh, you? Okay. Right. It's like, hey, you get $22 million to go play for a team where your owner openly says you suck, or you can go take 17 somewhere else that someone might want you.
One, I'm going to say foul that when you're openly just dissing on your players like this, while I appreciate it as a fan.
I love it as a fan.
You can't do it.
You can't do it as a player. You can't do it.
But to defend Jordan.
Zaidi just got fired because he couldn't broker Matt Chapman.
To defend Jordan here. Whoa, music getting high.
Yeah.
Players will put up with a lot of crap, I think, for $23 million.
Fair enough.
So I think if he's
Frankie's
like...
he's been in New York for 32 for 5 years, and they suck.
I think he's going to... Well, I say he's not going to be on the team next year. He very well might just put his pride aside and, you know, take the bullet.
22 sounds real good.
Just be like, wow, I absolutely hate this dude right now, but I'm getting $23 million.
It's sunny here in Phoenix.
I'll see you in training camp, 20 pounds overweight.
Just Raymond Felton's it.
Yeah.
Just says I'm out.
So, yes, foul, you can't do it. But
Jordan Montgomery is having a life crisis right now, deciding if he wants to continue to be a solid MLB player or just get fat and get paid.
Dude, I had to check the Twitter handles like 8 times when I saw this today because I was like, are these fake Twitter? Yeah, are these fake accounts tweeting this quote right now?
Yeah, like NBA Centel instead of NBA Central.
Yeah, I was just like, is this real? And I'm like, oh my God, it is. This is awesome.
No parodies here. All right, guys, fair foul number 2. Moving on. On to the Detroit Tigers, who are actually in the playoffs, getting the 3-1 win.
Chose Detroit Tigers, not mine. I can't do it.
Well, they did sneak in the last, month of the regular season or so, I think.
Dude,
they
got the best record since, like August. The All-Star break.
No, the August Padres 1. Have the best record
yeah,
since
but
the
August
All-Star
1
break.
Or something like that. However they want to skew the stats, it's Detroit. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they woke up. I think we all woke up, August 29th, and they had a better record than the Seattle Mariners. And we're just like, wait a second.
I know. And Mariner fans melted down because they were like, oh, my God, the Tigers are better than us.
It's kind of sad.
And then you watch the Tigers, and you're like, yeah, they're better than you.
They really are. Tarik Skubal, great performance today.
Fantastic. Love him. Cy Young, get it.
So, guys, fair or foul, just after one game, I know it's one game, but fair or foul, the Detroit Tigers will sneak into the World Series.
I'll start this because they are my Tigers.
It's a bold statement.
I know. We're one day into the postseason already.
But the wild card is...
wild.
Wild card's been an opener.
Wild card, bitches!
I mean, Texas was a wild card last year, and they won a World Series.
I'm going to say foul because I feel like that based off of my vibes today, that it's only going to get worse and the Yankees are going to somehow end up in the World Series. Like, I just, you know, I would love for the Tigers to finish off this run and pull at Diamondbacks of last year and make it to the World Series. But I just have a feeling that the rubber will meet the road at some point. The run will stop. Very well could stop against the Guardians, but I just think that the Yankees, they ended up playing much better baseball to end the season. Yeah, the firepower, they have Gerrit Cole. They do have a bullpen problem, which I will admit that.
Very much so.
And the Tigers have, over the few years, had one of the best, most consistent bullpens over the years.
And A.J. Hinch.
Even when they were bad.
A.J. Hinch ain't no slouch.
Yeah, he knows how to manage the team.
I'm with Joe on this. Now, after watching today, I think Detroit's going to beat Houston. I do. I think Houston is just a little too short, too late. Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez is banged up. Framber had a bad start today. No Verlander because he's been garbage. I think this is the right time for the Tigers to strike and get out of the wild card. I just think to get through Cleveland... to get through potentially, in my opinion, Baltimore or New York, I think that's a tall task for Detroit. I think those teams are just too much better than them. But I'm here for them over Houston, for sure. But I will agree with Joe. I'll say foul. I don't see it. I see wild card teams in the National League getting to the World Series more than I do the American League. That includes the Royals.
I'll buy that. All right, guys, fair or foul number three. I had to throw it in, dealing with the recently deceased Pete Rose, gone at the age of 83. Very controversial figure, of course, in the world of baseball.
Foul, he didn't do it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is there anyone in Major League Baseball history more controversial than Pete Rose?
Maybe
Barry Bonds?
Jose Canseco?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jose or Barry. No, that's Barry Bonds. Those are both really great names.
Barry Bonds?
Barry Bonds, Jose Canseco. I'm
Roger
not really
Clemens?
No, I don't even think Roger Clemens is up on that list. And
Aubrey
Shoeless Huff? Joe isn't either.
Aubrey Huff. I love that you just thought of the first person, the first random player that when we're 80 will remember.
The angry tweet.
Is not good.
I think he's still banned from Twitter. I wouldn't be surprised if Elon brought him back. But
yeah, Elon probably did. But Pete Rose, of course, guys, the all-time hits leader, 4,256, and played for, God, like 23 seasons, I think, overall. Played every position except catcher, like pretty proficiently.
Only because he blows up catchers.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys said, oh, you know, the Buster Posey rule. I still think that should have been called the Ray Fosse rule because it started way back when Pete Rose ran into Ray Fosse in the All-Star game.
But Pete hit Ray in the chest. Posey got hit in the leg and blew his ACL.
But didn't Ray Fosse still suffer a massive injury regardless of where he got hit? Yeah,
and
ruined
Ray
his
Fosse
career,
was
too.
Done.
Anyways, guys, obviously we are talking about Pete Rose and betting on baseball being the reason he has not been in the Hall of Fame. Well, he is now gone. So, guys, fair or foul, Pete Rose will posthumously be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I'll take this one first. You know, I sit here on this, and I think when we started the show, I've talked about Pete Rose today in a very serious fashion, and I will talk about it now in a very serious fashion. I think as much as, and Joe's right, we always say nobody hates baseball more than baseball. This is just such an easy win for baseball. Yes, put him in. And I think, yes, he will. Because I truly think because Pete was so anti and so like deterred and deflected all things coming his way, that his punishment was he couldn't see the World Series. But baseball still loves baseball. They might hate it a lot, but baseball still loves baseball. And at the end of the day, Pete will get in the Hall of Fame. And if I get that vote that I want, I will do everything in my power to make sure it happens. 4,256.
I am going to reference one P1 Rufio's text from earlier in the show. It was a lifetime ban. Lifetime. Life.
Lifetime.
He fulfilled his sentence. It's time to put him in the Hall.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to brass tacks and just proper grammar, that lifetime ban has been fulfilled. Yeah.
And I said it on this show, and I said it to Buck in the bullpen. Put him on the ballot. Let the writers choose. If the writers are going to choose to put Jeff Bagwell, David Ortiz, and Pudge Rodriguez in the Hall of Fame, and Mike Piazza, they can get their stones up to put Pete Rose in.
Yeah, pretty sure Darren Erstedt got a Hall of Fame vote. So.
Yeah, I mean, like Pudge Rodriguez. Oh, he played with Rafael Palmeiro, Alex Rodriguez, and Juan Gonzalez and just didn't do steroids? Yeah, I don't believe you. David Ortiz is on the Mitchell Report, okay? Jeff Bagwell squatted like an offensive lineman at Georgia, okay? You're going to put those guys in the Hall of Fame?
Put nice Pete guys. In. It's because they're nice guys.
The Hall of Nice Guys.
Put Pete in. Put him in.
My favorite.
Ty Cobb's in. Put him in.
I hear that.
Also put in Curt Schilling. I'll vote for Curt, too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Ruined an entire state's budget, but yeah, yeah.
Curt Schilling has four World Series titles and a World Series MVP and was a major factor in all of them. the bloody sock. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Yeah,
I agree with that. All right, guys, final fair or foul quickly. If you have not heard, the Seattle Mariners are taking very, very similar approach to this offseason that they did last offseason. Owner John Stanton telling the media that they plan to be raising payroll, but they will be out on the deep end of free agents like Juan Soto, Alex Bregman. Not that I want them to sign him anyways, because I hate Alex Bregman.
Alex Bregman would be a terrible sign.
I'd burn anything I saw with Bregman's name on it. But apparently, according to Ryan Divish and Adam Jude of the Seattle Times, the scars of the Robinson Cano contract 11 years later, which, by the way, they actually cleared off the books when they traded him to the New York Mets after he was a three-time All-Star, had like an 830 OPS.
Hit for Sugar Diaz.
For a really good package, well, with Sugar Diaz, for Jared Kelnick and Justin Dunn. That was the return. But really, there you go, exactly. The fact that the Mariners say that they are scarred because of the Robinson Cano contract just shows that they literally have no brains and they're not evaluating their team the right way. But guys, this is all coming from owner John Stanton. Fair or foul, as long as John Stanton as the owner, his hubris will prevent the Mariners from ever making a World Series.
I'll tell you what, I don't know about the World Series thing, but do you know, Jordan, I know you know because you watch and you read and you listen. The Mariners are a high, high contender to sign one polar bear, Pete Alonso.
Yeah, if
Pete Alonso,
he wants to go there.
If Pete Alonso is Jim Thome in Cleveland and not Jim Thome in Philly, Seattle could get to the World Series. John Stanton, I don't know, man. Like there's guys, there are teams that win World Series. There are teams that win Premier League titles in exception for their terrible owners. Like, the Glazers own Manchester United. And they're terrible owners of Manchester United. But United will eventually win another title. Eventually, not anytime soon. But they will win one eventually with bad ownership. I don't think it's a Stanton thing. I think it's a player thing.
Rephrase the question one more time.
I said, as long as John Stanton is owner of the Mariners, his hubris will prevent them from ever making a World Series. Ooh. So basically, they won't make a World Series while Stanton's the owner.
I'm going to say fair, because as a Cowboys fan, this guy definitely knows what a owner can do to your franchise as far as preventing you from winning anything meaningful. So
I just think this team has too many players in place over the next few years that the chance is still high. That pitching staff with Julio, JP, I still think there's a chance.
Well, hit better and trade one of the arms for a really good.
They're not going to do that, unfortunately.
Well, they should.
I would trade Bryce Miller and Brian Wu.
I would keep
Bryce Harper.
I would keep them, and I would trade Logan Gilbert.
Me too.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'd trade Gilbert or Kirby.
I would trade Wu, and I would trade Wu, Miller, and Gilbert for Shohei Ohtani.
Well, yeah, I don't think the Dodgers could use it.
The Dodgers could use it.
I don't think they'd do that deal.
Like, if the Dodgers had those three dudes on their team without Shohei, you're like, well, we still got Mookie.
Well, all their arms are going to fall off, too, still probably, got as soon as they go to L.A.
Get there, and then it's just done. All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. I got something I'm going to be hella mad at if it happens. We'll do that real quickly next Hot Corner. All right, we'll come back next week. Joe, you're out next week, right?
Yeah, we got to head to Hood River for a sales retreat.
That sounds wonderful.
So it'll be the sales team, the programming staff as well, not like the on-air programming staff.
Yeah,
there's no way you're making them do that.
That sounds fantastic. While you're out there, you should try to sell this show.
Trust me, bud. If I were to make a power rankings of what to sell, this would be near the bottom of the totem pole.
Thanks, my friend. You work here.
Trust me. I know. All right. But I think I'd get a lot of. You guys have a baseball show?
Voldemort's AI is selling better than this show.
I think I get that from Kim. We still do that?
I saw Kim the other day.
We still do that on Tuesday nights?
I saw
nights?
Kim the other day, and I was like, yeah.
Wednesday nights?
I saw Kim the other day, and I said, yeah, I don't really watch the NFL. She goes, you know that's how I pay your salary, right? Or she goes, you know that's how I pay you, right?
You're like,
and I go, no, you don't pay me on that. You pay me from the Oregon Ducks and also the stupid baseball show that I do and you pay me pennies for.
She's like, oh, that was a baseball show this entire time?
You guys been doing baseball? Yeah, we got jerseys and everything.
I still love 2 years ago, I was talking to her about the Sunday show. And then she's like, what's a Sunday show? I was like, Sports Sunday, that show that I host.
Doing it for seven
she's
years.
She's like, oh, yeah, I knew that.
Doing it for seven like, years. Uh-huh.
I'm like, thanks, Kim. Appreciate it.
We got a lot to get to next week. I do want to get into players getting send-offs but costing them a ton of money. So we might get into that next week. Plus, we'll just keep talking about the playoffs. Also, I'll tell you what. As Woj is gone, if Jeff Passan jumps to the NBA,
oh my God.
I'm going to lose my GD mind.
I will not be happy about it.
I will lose my GD mind.
Let him have Adam Schefter.
Because that means he's a sellout.
He'll shill for the owners.
We might talk about that next year. All right, we'll do that. For Joe Fisher, I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy on the ones and twos. 1080 The Fan. Hot corner, baby. See you next week.